Well, good evening, LCM!
Good evening.
Tonight is April 4th, 2024, and the title of tonight's sermon is Kingly Vision. Come on, somebody say Kingly Vision.
Kingly Vision.
This evening, we have been given the great privilege of being able to share with you, and we are excited to share what the Lord put on our hearts. Our intent tonight is to cultivate your hearts for restoration and to make you bold, stout-hearted, and free so that you might rise to everything our Father is calling you to be in this season.
Amen.
Let me ask you guys a question. Were you guys moved by Sunday sermon?
Yeah.
I know I was. Yeah. We want to jump right into the scripture and one of the things that was our favorite about Sunday's word. Let's go to Proverbs 4, starting in verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth and keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead of you. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left and keep your foot from evil." Church, tonight it is our intent that we learn how to properly guard our hearts in this place. It is our intent that we will learn how to correctly fix our gaze and behold the resurrection. And tonight we will boldly take steps towards the things that God is calling us to. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 10.
When you get there, say kingly vision. Carlos. We're ready for some more freedom tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to get some more. Memo, you ready for some more freedom tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Verse 10 says, "But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance." So I want to stop here for a minute before we go on and just engage with what's going on. This is King Jehoshaphat, right? He has just received a report that there are men, there are armies, plural, coming after him, coming after their land. Men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir. And what are they coming to do? To drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. You see, King Jehoshaphat is wrestling with overwhelming odds. Right? What is he wrestling with? He's wrestling with overwhelming odds. He's got multiple armies coming against him to attack him. He's wrestling with losing an inheritance or a promise. Right? He says that they're going to repay us. They're going to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. He's praying before the Lord. He's offering up this before the Lord. How many of us have felt like King Jehoshaphat? Right? We're facing overwhelming odds. Things that are too big for us to understand. We don't know how we're going to fight through these things. We're facing losing an inheritance or losing a promise that the Lord gave us. You see, I know what it's like to fight these things. I know what it's like to lay down my daughter at night, not having taken in enough formula to sustain her. Right? I know what it's like not knowing that it might be possible that she might not make it through the night. And having to trust in the Lord God to multiply what little formula was there. Or if need be, to resurrect her. In these moments, church, in these overwhelming moments, in these moments where we feel like the promise has been taken away from us, or it's about to be taken away from us, what do we do? What do we do? That's the question that we had, that my wife asked me, what do we do? It's the question that I call Pastor Wade, and I'm like, what do we do? He's like, we're with you, JJ. You hear from the Lord, and we are with you. And that's the question tonight. What do we do? Let's pick up in verse 12 and find out what we do.
Come on.
He says, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us." It's the truth. You're facing the truth. They're not going to be able to do this. But he goes on to say, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Oh, come on.
See, what he's facing is odds that are stacked against him, overwhelming odds that are stacked against him, multiple nations fighting against Jehoshaphat and God's people. And what does this king say? He says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And this is the attitude that we need to have. This is the kingly response that we need to have here tonight. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. You see, Jehoshaphat's fear of the Lord overran his fear of man. It overran what anything man could do. This is a man, Jehoshaphat is a man who knows how to direct his vision toward the Lord and his overcoming resurrection power. And he does it not just for himself, he does it for all the men. He's standing there in the assembly at the temple with all the men of Judah, their wives, their children, and their little ones, just to make sure we don't forget anybody. And he's saying this, it says it in the very next verse. He's not only adjusting his vision, he's adjusting the vision of the people around him. What do we do, saints? What do we do when we don't know what to do? We turn our eyes on the Lord and his resurrection power. This is a time, men of God, women of God, this is a time for us to stare death in the face, to see through the current circumstance, the lack, the whatever the feeling is that's inside, I can't do this, there's no way I'm going to be able to. We need to see through these things and say, Lord, our eyes are on you. We can't do this. I can't do this in my own strength and my own power. But Lord, my eyes are on you. We will keep the Lord in our sight. And he will remain in our hearts. And we will see the victory, church. We're going to walk away tonight with kingly vision. You guys ready to walk with us?
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, let's turn to verse 15 and 16. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Church, we wanted to talk to you about a couple things in this passage this evening. I've been able to talk to a lot of you guys this week, and I know we are all working and fighting for the promises of God. We are fighting to produce what God has called us to produce. We're fighting for our inheritance. And every time there's an army that's bigger than you, every time there's that feeling that says, I can't do this, they're going to overpower me. But church, the answer, like JJ was talking about, is to fix your eyes on the Lord, because when you do, your battles are no longer your battles. It says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. When you fix your eyes on the Lord, the battle ceases to be your battle. Sure, you have to still go and fight it, but the battle actually belongs to the Lord. The Lord is a warrior, and the Lord is his name, and he takes delight in crushing his enemies, especially when he was defending his people. Church, we want to encourage you tonight that though there are many hardships, do not fix your gaze on the hardships, but fix your eyes on him in the hardships. Everything you view as a total defeat is only temporary when you fix your eyes on the Lord, because the Lord makes your battles his battles. Let's turn to Matthew 14, starting verse 25. Somebody say kingly vision when you get there.
During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. So before we go on, I again want to stop and engage, right, of this story. This is not just a Sunday school story. This is not a felt board story. This is a story of Peter getting out of the boat. of being called out, full of faith, right? Peter, actually, we already know the rest of the story. Let's pretend like we don't know the rest of the story. What is it like for Peter to hear the voice of the Lord say, come, come to me and come do what I'm doing? And Peter got out full of faith, stepped on the water. He was walking like Jesus, walking exactly like Jesus. Where else in history, where recorded, is another man walking like this? But he turned his eyes toward the storm, towards the wind, towards the water. See, Peter was full of faith, but he also had some fear in him, right? How many of us have stepped out boldly in faith, right? The Lord says, come. The Lord says, do this. Walk like me. Do this. Only to set our gaze on the difficulty and become fearful.
I know. I've done that.
It's not just me, right? Well, let me share with you a little bit about my last couple of weeks. Most of you guys know in here, Gabriel Stevens and I have taken over FCR, Forever Custom Renovations. We are working it. We're working it. We are working, and the Lord is providing. He hasn't never stopped providing. He's even bringing calls and people to us that we didn't even call. We didn't ask for. Like, okay, sure. We're working estimates, man, and we know we're going to get them, right? We're like 95% sure. There's no any salesman in the room know what I'm talking about. You're like 95% sure. Like, you, man, we have got a good relationship. Those tacos worked great. I'm going to send you a box of cookies, too. Man, this is, we got this. Only to lose them, right? Only to not get the estimate, all right? You feel me? And then you start, it does hurt. And then you start looking, not only just losing these estimates, but you're also keeping an eye on your bank account because you're a responsible businessman, right? Keep an eye on the money. We are. We're one, so it counts. And the bank account's getting a little bit smaller. Yeah, a little bit smaller. And then the whiffs creep in, right? The whiffs, the what ifs, right? What if we adjust our margins a little bit? What if we, you know, we don't take as much? What if we step outside of the boundary lines, right? Starting to look outside the is it just me, right? It's not just me, right? Okay. Something that Pastor Elder Eric said on Sunday. He said, keeping something in your sight causes it to remain in your heart. Keeping something in your sight causes it to remain in your heart. And what I was doing, I was keeping what felt like death and disapproval, the testing and the hardship, I was keeping all that in my sight, right? All the negative stuff. We lost this. It's getting, the bank account's getting small. All these things. And it caused me to only see those things. Instead, what I should have been doing, what the Lord is helping me do, us as a church do, is I should have been looking at the resurrection power of Christ in the situation, right? Because honestly, this is not about the job. It's not about the money, you know, whether we get them or not, the jobs. See, the resurrection power that we're experiencing is in the relationship that is forming, right? That's being strengthened between Gabriel and myself, between the Bullocks and the Stevens. Right? We're doing life together. We're doing this thing together. That is the resurrection power that we are experiencing. To fulfill a word of knowledge in 2023 from Pastor Judah, who said during a message, and I was looking for it and I couldn't remember what it was, but towards the end of it, he said, what if men like Gabriel and JJ were to spend more time together? How would they affect the kingdom? How would the kingdom advance? And we're seeing this come to fruition now. You see, this right here, this is the resurrection power that's coming from these moments. This is what's coming out of all of this. In verse 31, we're going to continue this story. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? You see, in the moment of death for Peter, right? The moment of death, that drowning, the chaos, the waters. Peter cried out, save me. And Jesus saved him. What looked like certain death for Peter, right? Jesus stepped in and he resurrected him from a watery grave. He thought he was going to die, and Jesus reached down as he cried out, save me. Hosanna, help me. I can't do this on my own. He reaches out in his strength and he saves him and he resurrects him from a watery grave. And this is the answer, church. As we step out in bold acts of faith, which you are, which we are. And when staring at chaos, staring at death, we look to Jesus and we cry out to Jesus. He resurrects us. See, we have to get our eyes off of the chaos and we have to fix our eyes on the King. Church, this is what kingly vision looks like. It's getting our eyes off of the chaos, getting them on the Lord, saying, save me, Jesus, and him giving us resurrection power to do exactly what he does.
Amen. Come on, before we go further, actually, let's turn to 1 Samuel 7. This will prove the point. 1 Samuel 7, starting in verse 3. It says, and Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all of your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Church, we've been talking about the wrestling that we feel. And it's apparent to me in this moment that we make a shift. You guys make a shift with me?
Yeah.
We have to stop sympathizing with our fears. We have to stop sympathizing, man, like, yeah, I see that. You know, I'm like Peter in that passage. We have to reserve our fear for the Lord. Only for the Lord. These foreign gods that they were serving were hindering them from following the Lord with all of their heart. Yeah. We have to make no allowance for the fear that is in our heart, because honestly, in our lives, that's what the foreign gods look like. Yeah. It's the concerns, it's the fear of man, it's the worries of life that will choke you out. Thoughts of I can't, or I don't want to, or I don't know how to. They're all faithless in foreign gods, and they have no place in a holy people. Yeah. Yeah. Church, you can win. You don't have to spend a day. You don't have to spend a moment looking at other things. You don't have to spend a moment losing and being distracted by the waves in your life. Because God is calling you out. He's calling your voice, and he is giving you a direction tonight, and that's to fix your eyes on him. So praise God, you don't have to look anywhere else. You don't have to worry about anything else, because your battles become the Lord's battles as you fix your eyes on him with a jealousy. Church, we have to be satisfied with the allotment that God has given us. We have to be satisfied with being close to his presence and to stop looking at foreign things everywhere else. Proverbs 21:2 says, all of a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Church, those idols that show up as, this is what I need to be focusing on right now. This is what I need to be afraid of in this moment. I'm just being diligent. I just have this concern that I want to make sure things work out well. We don't know what we should be focusing on outside of the Lord. The Lord determines that. He wants us to focus on him, and then he will direct us in everything that we should do. But church, I've been wrestling with this verse this week. It says, all of a man's ways seem right to him. When I think I'm doing good, when I'm confident in the things that that I'm working through and focusing on. If it didn't come from the Lord, and I can't say that it did, how confident can I be? They're fruitless. They're foreign gods that have no place among his people. Church, the idolatry of our own heart causes us to be arrogant or cowardly either way. I know what I should be doing in this moment. And so I don't need to ask anybody else or look toward the Lord for anything. Or on the other side of this, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything.
Paralyzed.
Neither of those things are being faith-filled. Neither of those things are fixing your eyes on the Lord and becoming like him. Church, when we turn to the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our trust, when we fix our eyes on him, he delivers us from all of our enemies. And we need to have that confidence. I don't need to be worried about the waves. I don't need to be worried about the armies. I don't need to be worried about my finances. Because the Lord is just going to work it out. As I fix my eyes on him, I become like him. And as I become like him, I do what he does. We have to fix our eyes on him. Church, to behold this resurrection power, to behold the Lord makes you like the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8.
Y'all starting to get some kingly vision tonight? Amen. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Man, how true is this, right? How many times do my thoughts in the situation, right? My thoughts about myself, or my thoughts about others, right? Or how many times do they not line up to what God's thoughts are? Often, right? And then my ways, we won't even get into that, because that's not what we're going to focus on tonight. Because what we're doing tonight is we're going to continue to elevate our thoughts. We're going to bring our thoughts and our ways higher, and it starts with elevating our vision. It starts with lifting up our head and elevating our vision to the higher heights. We're going to have kingly vision tonight, church. And when we start with our vision focused at the top on our King's sovereignty and on his resurrection power, then everything trickles down the right way and brings life to everything and everyone within our dominion. Now that's the good trickle-down economics. That's kingdom trickle-down economics. In verse 10, it says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, the Dabar Yahweh, the word of the Lord. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." You see, it's not us, right? Because we don't have the right words. We don't have the right thoughts. We don't have the right ways. We already read that. But it's his word in us that will not return void. It is his promise inside of us, right? Whether it's a child, whether it's a spouse, whether it's future land, whether it's a fruitful marriage, a flourishing marriage, a fruitful workplace, being firmly planted right where you are, whatever the promise is to you, to us, whatever it is, he will accomplish it through his resurrection power. See, the Lord will accomplish what he desires through you, through us. We just got to keep our eyes on him, and we got to have that kingly vision. In verse 12, it says, "You, LCM, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into songs before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed."
Come on, somebody say, his ways are higher than our ways.
His ways are higher than our ways.
His words will not fail for me.
His words will not fail for me.
Church, his arm will not fail you. Every word he speaks will come true. He will accomplish everything that he desires for you. Church, you are the everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. You are the Lord's. You are the representation of him on this earth. So of course he's going to help you. Psalm 34, starting in verse 4, says this. It says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. Church, tonight the Lord is wanting to give you free access. Did you guys hear that in the worship as we were praising the Lord and seeking his face? He was inviting us. He was saying, I've known you, I've called you out, I've given you free access, so come to me. Fix your eyes on me, seek me, because I've given you an open door. Church, the Lord is calling you to seek him on a daily basis, in an intimate fashion, with total freedom. And he desires to answer you. He desires to answer you. And he will deliver you from all the faithless fears that want to pop up but have no place in our lives. Church, tonight he's going to make your face shine and be radiant with the glory of his presence. As we interact with him, he is going to impart his character inside of us. As we focus on him and him alone this evening, we will shine with radiance. He is the exterminator of your shame, church. If you're ever feeling poor, know that the Lord hears you and will save you and will help you. Church, tonight it is time to get off the ropes. It's time to get off the ropes. It's time to fix your eyes on what actually matters. No more I can't. No more it's not going to work out. No more I don't want to, which is really I just can't. Church, it's time to get off the ropes. If you felt on the ropes this week, in this season, if you felt like you just can't find out the right place to block because you just keep getting hit left and right, it's time to counterpunch, church. And that counterpunch looks like fixing your eyes only on him, being jealous for him, and he will come and meet you and give you the power that you need tonight. Church, you are called to radiate God's glory. You are called to be the witness on the earth. You are the ambassadors of God. Meeting you when you have had interactions with the Lord, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, meeting you is meeting the Lord. You are the embodiment of it on the earth. What that should cause us to do, church, is to hunger after his thoughts, to hunger after his ways, to forsake everything else that we've been thinking and to focus our eyes only on the Lord. And on that note, let's go to Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 3.
You guys hungry tonight? Is the Lord stirring up a hunger in you tonight? Good, because that's what he wants to do tonight. In verse 3, he says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, the Dabar Yahweh, what he says. I love this passage, right? It's been so good to me and my family and this family. I think we all love this passage. What the Lord is after tonight in this passage and what the Lord is after in us is our hunger. It's what he's after tonight. The Lord is allowing hardships. He's allowing us to walk through wilderness times. He's allowing us to experience chaos and death in our lives. But he's not doing it to punish us or disqualify us. What he's doing is he's causing us to hunger. He's stirring our hearts. He's causing us to cry out to him, to hunger so that he can feed us. Not so we can do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves, but he can do it. And that's the point. You know, it's not with what we think we need to be sustained, right? Bread alone. It's what the passage says. But it's with a supernatural provision that comes through the word of the Lord, through that Dabar Yahweh. Church, this is what it looks like to have resurrection life at work within you. This is the faith that is being built in the kings in this room. Every moment of faithless despair in our life is the opportunity for his presence. Every moment that we engage with whatever feeling or whatever thought is an opportunity to get into His presence, to experience His presence, to have His sustaining power, to have His life come rushing into us, and to satisfy our hunger and fill us again. But it doesn't stop there. It's so that we can pour ourselves out for others who are also hungering and thirsting for more. You see, this is a cycle. It goes on and on. As you hunger, He fills you and you pour yourself out. And then you hunger again and you thirst and He fills you. And you pour yourself out to those that are hungering and they're filled and they pour themselves out. This is how the kingdom grows, church. This is how kings and queens act. See, our hunger will drive us to be full of the very power and glory of God that others will experience as they encounter us. And this is what we are being built in, church, built into, church. We are kings. We are queens with a kingly vision.
Let's go to Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 1. Jeremiah 33, verse 1, says, "While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, 'He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things, things that you did not know.'" Church, the Lord is causing us to hunger this evening. He is causing us to hunger so that He might show us great and unsearchable things. Think about that. Great and unsearchable things, meaning things you didn't know before. The Lord wants to reveal new revelation to us tonight, the things that'll fix our problems, the things that'll draw us closer, the things that'll make us more fruitful, the things that we haven't yet grabbed a hold of. Tonight, He wants to show you great and unsearchable things. And it's our job to just hunger after Him. It's our job to say, "Lord, you want to show me great and unsearchable things? Lord, here I am. Lord, you are offering this bread. Lord, I'm going to take every advantage that I have to get it. And I don't care what it costs me. Lord, I just want to know you more." Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is to the glory of God to conceal a matter, and to search out a matter is the glory of kings." To search out a matter, to hunger after the Lord, it's to the glory of a king. Church, you become more glorious as you hunger after the Lord. You're not slaves, you're not enemies, you're not illegitimate. You're kings in this house. And it's time for us to have a kingly pursuit. An unadulterated, passionate, zealous pursuit of Him. Because even while you feel like you're confined in a courtyard, the Lord wants to speak to you there especially. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 6.
As you're turning there, say, "I am a king in this house."
I'm a king in this house.
All right, now say it again like you mean it. I am a king in this house.
I am a king in this house.
Hebrews 11, 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." This is a house that is full of kings, and this is a house that is full of faith. And because you are with faith, or you have faith, you will please God, church. So when we come to Him, right, when we come to Him, we believe that He exists. Right, we believe that He exists not just in an ethereal way, but He exists here and now. He exists in our circumstance. He exists within us as we step into the chaos, as we step out on the waters, as we step out into faith. The Lord is with us because we have that faith. And the promise is that He will reward you with your earnest and faith-filled hunger. That's what the Lord is driving at tonight. He is stirring up our hunger, church, because He wants to give us everything that we need. Our God is a generous God, and He wants us to be the kings that He has designed us to be. That driving hunger, that driving thirst will also cause us to be a river of life for others that is directed by the very hand of God.
Come on. Let's go to Proverbs 21, starting in verse 1. Proverbs 21, verse 1. It says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases." Or some translations say, "to whomever he pleases." Church, like we mentioned earlier, you are kings. This is something that has been getting ingrained inside of us in this past season. You are kings, and you have every reason to be unashamed in your pursuit of the Lord and the things that you're doing. Church, this week, I've been crying out to the Lord for him to direct my heart. I've been entering into new lands with new responsibilities, new endeavors, new things that we're trying to produce, and I've been asking the Lord to direct my heart. I've been asking the Lord to teach me, to show me the things that I must do. And church, can I tell you how special the relationship that the Lord wants to give is? When you are asking the Lord to direct you. When you're asking him, "Lord, lead me. Lord, I submit to you. Lord, guide me because I want to do your will." The Lord wants to meet you there with that intimacy, and that's what's been going on inside of my heart. Everything else has been getting cleared out of my life to where he can direct me in the way that he wants to. Church, I had to stop diminishing my identity to do that, though. I had to stop diminishing the things that God had called me to do. I had to seek him like a king. I had to seek him and genuinely believed that he would meet me in my circumstance right now. Church, when you can throw off that fake identity and fix your eyes on the one who makes you a king, then you start walking like a king, then you start producing the fruit like a king. Church, in all of these things, Proverbs 21, it depicts our hearts like streams of water. And that struck me in an interesting way this week. And I got to think about that. Rivers are one of the more powerful things on the planet. They cut through mountains. They go down into the deepest valleys and produce life. They cut through many nations and go through many continents like the Mississippi does. They're unstoppable. When our hearts, church, when your heart is directed by the Lord, it makes you one of the most powerful forces on the planet. You cannot be stopped. When you fix your eyes on the Lord, when you hunger after him, when you ask the Lord to direct you, church, you can't be stopped. My brothers, when you are properly directed, you are a people of momentum. You are a people of power and an unstoppable nature. So if you find yourself slowing down, fix your eyes on the Lord. That's the answer. Hunger after him. Have him direct you. And you'll walk in that powerful momentum that he wants you to walk in. And church, it's not just so that you feel good about yourself. It's so that you raise up disciples. It's so that you reflect God's glory everywhere that you go. It's so you can produce the fruit that God wants. Church, tonight, as we get into worship here soon, we're going to ask the Lord to direct our hearts. We're not going to focus on everything else that's been wrong. We're going to focus on him. Yes. We're going to hunger after him. And church, he's going to meet you tonight and direct you in a way that only he can. Church, as you behold his glory, he will make you an ambassador of that glory. An unstoppable force that is not to be reckoned with. Let's go to John 7.
John 7, starting in verse 37. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if the spiritual leaders are thirsty. No? Oh, this must have misprinted. I don't know. It's old school technology. No, if anyone, right? If anyone. All right, like someone, maybe like the woman at the well, who he just talked to a few chapters before. If anyone is thirsty, that includes everybody in this room. If anyone in this room is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever, say that's me.
That's me.
Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Matthew 5:6 says that we are blessed when we are hungry and thirsty. Why are we blessed? Because he fills us. He satisfies our thirst. He satisfies our hunger. It is a blessing to be hungry. It is a blessing to cry out to the Lord. It is a blessing to go through things so that our hearts can be turned, so our vision can be elevated to the Lord. It is a blessing. And the promise is that streams of living water will flow from within us. Church, are you hungry to behold the power of his resurrection so that you might become an agent of his resurrection?
Yeah.
I believe it. The Lord is stirring our hunger tonight, church. In fact, he's been doing it for quite some time. He is giving us a kingly appetite. He's giving us a kingly thirst. He's giving us a kingly vision. And like King Jehoshaphat, who faced impossible odds and the potential of a promise being taken away from his people, you too in here can lay the impossible odds before the Lord and say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Let's turn to our final passage for the evening. Isaiah chapter 35.
Worship team, you guys can come on. Church, this is what the Lord is going to do for us this evening. Isaiah 35, starting in verse 3, says, strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with divine vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Church, tonight we are going to fix our eyes on the Lord. We're going to get off the ropes, we're going to have kingly vision and fix our eyes on the Lord. Church, if you've had feeble hands, if you've had knees that have wanted to give way, if you've had fearful hearts, church, tonight, as we respond to the Lord, as you fix your eyes on the Lord, he will strengthen all of those things. Church, as you hunger after the Lord, you will find that God is the God who redeems you and fights against your enemies with vengeance. As you hunger after God's ways, God will come and meet you right where you are. Church, tonight, as you are directed in the hands of the Lord, as you come to him and he directs you, the eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the situations that other people need healing in, the desert moments in other people's life, you will have what they need because you have spent time with the Lord. So the call is simple tonight, church. Let's fix our eyes on the Lord, not on anything else. Let's hunger after him like it's the last night that we had on this earth. Let's ask him to direct us. Lord, direct us. Channel this stream of water so that we can carry the momentum where you want it to go, Lord. Church, stand on your feet. And let's pray. Mighty God, Lord, tonight we don't want anything else. Lord, tonight we don't want to look to the right or to the left. Lord, we want to guard our hearts. We want to give you our hearts. Jesus, everything that we are, God, we are hungry for you. Lord, everything seems right to us, but we're asking that you would guide us this evening. Lord, that as we fix our eyes on you, Lord, you would make us like you in this place. Lord, you have given us free access to stand in your presence and to become like you. Lord, make us like you tonight. In Jesus' name.